Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We are all still affected by the coronavirus, and we've been speaking quite a bit about the indirect effect, perhaps, that this virus will have not only in helping to bring about a one-world religion and a one-world government, that'll be coming later in the series, but this is a current events event that just doesn't seem to go away, and so we keep following the stories and how they relate to my particular topic. I think that my outline really has been the coronavirus's indirect effect, as I said, on one world religion and one world government, and the second point of my outline under my the one world religion aspect, examples of false prophets and their relation to the coronavirus, and we've been looking at some of the false prophets and what they've said concerning this terrible pandemic that we've been experiencing. Now, I have an article here. It's titled Corona, Rodney Howard Brown's Arrest, and the Prophet Jeremiah. And I think that might be a nice title, really, for tonight's talk, Jeremiah the Prophet Revisited. We know that the Bible predicts that there would be false prophets. We know that there have been false prophets spoken of in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And, of course, the Lord and the apostles and the authors of Scripture, many have warned of false prophets and false teachers in the last days. And so this particular article comes from the Lighthouse Trails editors. The Lighthouse Trails Publishing Company, of course, puts out great articles and books and pamphlets concerning discernment issues. And this particular article was written by Bill Randles. And let's just read what is written here. There will be many that lionize Rodney Howard Brown for standing up to the state or as a champion of freedom of religion. But on the other hand, there really is a dangerous plague occurring globally and personally, Mr. Randall says. I give the governor of Iowa, his state, the benefit of the doubt in this and pray fervently that as soon as the physical danger is past, we can meet again as a whole flock. After all, the word for church, ecclesia, means an assembly. And according to Scripture, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. That's Hebrews 10:25. I have struggled with this myself and been in much prayer about it. I believe God has given me an insight into how we are to look at this. Do you remember the prophet Jeremiah? When the pagan Babylonians surrounded Jerusalem, he was given a rather unpatriotic message. He was told to tell Jerusalem to go out and submit to the Babylonians, even though it would be humiliating to them as proud Jews, because God was in the Babylonian invasion. Jeremiah 27 is an example of this preaching. As usual, there were hundreds of false prophets like Hananiah who prophesied resistance, victory, and triumph. Jeremiah was hated for his quote-unquote cowardly message, which amounted to submitting to the harsh discipline of God and not resisting it. And, you know, just my comments would be, Jeremiah, this great man of God, would have been considered by many to be a failure, and yet he faithfully spoke the truth to the people who wanted to follow their own itching ears and the false prophets of their time. So he wasn't a failure, of course, because he was God's man and had a very difficult calling, of which many of us also have in these last days, dealing with the heretics, the false teachers, and the false prophets of our time. When Rodney Howard Brown, back to the article, proclaimed that quarantine was for pansies, I thought of Jeremiah immediately. There's nothing spiritual about the bravado of mockery and of the manhood of people who are trying to be wise or prudent. Brown and his accomplice, Kenneth Copeland, who prophesied that CV-19 would be vanquished by the end of March, are just like the false prophet Hananiah. who makes God's people to trust in a lie, Jeremiah 28:15, and eventually discredit the cause of Christ. And of course, I would say big time. I hope you understand, he says, these people have an errant theology. They believe that God has given them the power to become little gods through the new birth and to be able to decree and command reality to submit to them. It is also called the word of faith teaching, and it is heresy. And I, as I've mentioned in other podcasts, of course, that the New Age movement and occultists also, they practice decreeing and positive affirmations and such, also believing that they can co-create with God reality and bring things into, you know, being co-creators with God because they're part of the pantheistic God who they believe, you know, they believe in pantheism as opposed to that God is the creator God. They believe that everything is a part of the pantheistic God, including them, and therefore they can co-create reality either through decreeing it, through the spoken word, or through even their positive thinking, their visualizing, etc. Back to the article. Copeland once told an audience that he had known what Jesus knew, he, Copeland, could have gone to the cross also. They are classic Gnostics and heretics, which, of course, is repetitive in a way because Gnostics were heretics, but that's a specific form of heresy that they're practicing, of course, what Bill Randles is telling us here. He says, I hate not having full assemblies. I admit that. I do not put absolute trust in the government either. But God has allowed many limitations to come upon us. No sports, no restaurants, no entertainments, not as many. And in my view, worst of all, no gatherings of Christians in the tens and hundreds or even thousands. The freedom to gather as believers is one of the beautiful and joyous things about being an American. But all of that has been suspended. Of course, we know the Word of God is not bound. Do you believe it has been allowed as a discipline of God, or is this just the devil? Or could it be a combination of the two? And of course, I had commented that the people over at the Elijah list, they believe this was purely and simply from the devil, period. I would say, in accordance to Bill Randall's question here, I would say yes. I would think that this could be being allowed as a discipline of the devil. It also could be trying to get people's attention as a preview or a precursor of things that are going to come that are going to be much greater, much worse during the Great Tribulation period of time that's coming. So anyway, like Judah in the time of Jeremiah, we proud Americans don't believe we could ever be curtailed in anything, much less worship. What if these restrictions are the discipline of a loving father that we must submit to? Would fighting them be fighting God? Privileges have been stripped without debate, discussion, or due process. Liberties have been suspended indefinitely, and that galls all of us. The Constitution is a wonderful document, but it is not the Word of God. Could this be a time for repentance, soul-searching, and seeking God? Let us be careful of modern Hananiahs appealing to our pride and vainglory, but pretending it is faith. And, of course, that's Rodney Howard Brown and Kenneth Copeland. Especially, you know, Rodney Howard Brown's embracing patriotism and, you know, trying to show himself in that type of light and to draw people into saying, hey, you know, I'm on your side. We need to all band together. And, of course, he's a heretic. And he is, you know, I think as Mr. Randall says, he's somewhat of a modern Hananiah, as Copeland as well. So many of these false prophets in our days, appealing to our pride and vainglory, but pretending it is faith. Now, the next article is really, it's almost like Exhibit A, of, and this is from March 27th. But this speaks volumes to the type of things that we're being warned about, you know, by the government and some of these restrictions. This is from the Christian Post, and this is the entitled, 43 People Fall Ill at a Pentecostal Church After Revival, 10 Test Positive for Coronavirus. several members of an Illinois Pentecostal church are either at the hospital or in home quarantine after at least 43 congregants fell ill following a revival service two Sundays ago, and at least 10 of them have tested positive for the new coronavirus. In a Facebook post Wednesday night, Lena Locascio, wife of Pastor Anthony Locascio, who leads the Life Church of Glenview, said at least 43 of the approximately 80 people who attended a March 15th service at their church have fallen ill, and everyone who has been tested for the new coronavirus has come back positive for the virus, which has already killed more than 1,470 people and infected more than 97,000 people nationwide. This is, of course, as I say, an older article, a little bit. The article goes on to read, church leaders said the meeting was held days before the governor's stay-at-home order. However, it was after officials called for large public events to be scaled down to 1,000 people and for private ones to have a maximum 250 in attendance, the Chicago Tribune reported. And the point is, of course, well, you know, let's just read on. Pastor Locascio told the Daily Herald that he had contemplated canceling a service initially, but because the number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the area was low, he decided against it, particularly because they had a guest speaker coming and had been promoting the event for a while. We had a guest speaker. We were promoting it. He said, we made the announcement, if you're sick, stay home. We didn't know this would happen. No one knew. The decision not to cancel has led to a lot of pain for many, including Pastor Locascio, the guest evangelist Eli Hernandez, as well as a member of the church who's battling cancer. One of the main pillars in our church who has cancer is in the hospital with pneumonia and a blood infection and pancreatic cancer and COVID-19. He is not doing good. He's in ICU and on a ventilator. My husband is torn up about it, so torn up. He's been so sick as well, Lanya Locascio wrote. You know, of course, my comments would be, maybe among other things, God is speaking out against word faith, you know, heresies, and the whole faith type movement in denying illnesses and such things. Now the article goes on in another place here. It says, we had invited so many guests and members, we all knew it was the last service before the lockdown. So many beautiful things happened, people filled with the Holy Spirit, and we even had miracles. And of course I wrote, really? You know, not to be jaded, folks, but really, you know, but not enough miracles, apparently. It says that he even preached about faith, Brother Hernandez, she's referring to. But now he is at the hospital with pneumonia and under sedation, not doing good. What can I say? Do I give up my faith? You know, apparently, the folks and even Brother Hernandez don't really understand about true faith. Apparently, this sister, the pastor's wife, she says, do I give up my faith? No, you don't give up the true faith once delivered to the saints, the faith of your salvation. But you need to reanalyze your views of the word faith type stuff that circulates in many, and not all, but in many Pentecostal and charismatic churches. Do I look straight into the eyes of what appears to be the most dreaded situation that could ever come of this? She asked. Again, I would say no, but if you have bad teaching, you could lose your faith. you know, maybe, you know, if you never had it in the first place, you may not actually be losing the true faith. But, and of course, we pray for these people in this church, and I don't want to sound jaded at all, but I hope that many people learn from these experiences that we need to practice sanctified common sense. She said, my very own sweet, precious mother and probably father also ended up getting infected, and now mama is home with a bad cough and in bed. I could sit and fret and worry, and believe me, I've done my fair share of that, and I could just let my spirit within me die, or I could just make the choice to say, I know my God, and my God says I will be with you, and surely he will. He's promised to be with us through everything, but, you know, again, to have a proper understanding, a well-balanced understanding of God's word is important. She continued, my God is more than enough to supply all of our needs, all of our needs, even if he is as silent as can be right now. I know I've heard his voice before, and I know I will hear his voice after. He told us we're going to the other side. And she's not talking about death, of course. She's talking about a breakthrough of her faith, I think. And so it's kind of ironic because many people are going to the other side. They're crossing death's, you know, the river of death because they're infected, because death, you know, is part of living on this planet. And we all will one day die if the rapture doesn't take us first. She said, I will. She said, I know I've heard his voice before, and I know I will hear his voice after. He told us we were going to the other side. I don't care how hard the storm seems in this Sea of Galilee. He has promised my church dynamic end-time revival. He has promised us that we would be a healing place. Okay. Did they really hear from God? Has she really heard from God? Did he promise end-time revival and healing? He promised us all the promises that are available to us, but not all of us are going to be healed. That's just, you know, one of those sad facts of life that, you know, we will have full healing when we get our new body, but maybe not so much now. We can pray for it. We can hope for it. And I hope it does come to these folks. But, you know, my comments are maybe God in his mercy will finally get to those who hold unbiblical, false, and dangerous beliefs and rescue some of them from this. I don't know about this end-time revival stuff. I do believe that, I hope that many people are going to be saved. That's why we're supposed to continue the Great Commission and get the gospel out to people. But end-time revival and healing, I don't know. Anyway, it says, I won't share that. But when I say I hope that many who hold these unbiblical, false, and dangerous beliefs might be rescued. And of course, I have as Exhibit A those that we've talked about already in other podcasts: Steve Strang, Carl Pierce, Kenneth Copeland, Joseph Prince, Rodney Howard Brown, all these people we've talked about who are unsound, unbiblical, and leading people astray, and not only to, you know, perhaps an eternity without Christ, but also destruction in this life. Okay, now, the next article I want to address is it's entitled "Tony Perkins Slams Churches Still Gathering During the Pandemic, Calls Action a Defiance of Common Sense." This is also from the Christian Post, and this is dated March 30th. There we go. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins gave these remarks at a Values Voters Summit. At another point in time, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins slammed churches that have continued to gather as the coronavirus pandemic explodes across the country, calling their action a defiance of common sense. And I would say, if you look up defiance of common sense, you know, in a dictionary, you might see pictures of Rodney Hart Brown, Kenneth Copeland, and some of these others that I've mentioned. Reacting to a recent report by the Christian Post, about 43 members of the Life Church of Glenview in Illinois falling ill, and that's the one, of course, the article I was just referring to there, and at least 10 of them later testing positive for the coronavirus after a revival service earlier this month, Perkins said it was irresponsible and should not be treated as an example of defending religious freedom. And, of course, I would say amen, which is exactly what Rodney Brown is trying to do. He's trying to say, oh, you know, I'm defending religious freedom to assemble and throw away sanctified common sense and really put people at risk. At this point, the article goes on, holding public church gatherings in the midst of a public health crisis is not a defense of religious freedom. It is a defiance of common sense and the care of your congregation. Spread the good news, not the virus, tweeted Perkins, whose organization works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. You know, and let me just share right now, this is something I saw on Facebook, and it's from something that comes from 1918 in British Columbia, October 19th, 1918. This was during the Spanish flu, excuse me. This was from a newspaper from November 7th, 1918. But anyway, the statement is, this is a public notice to the city of Kelowna in British Columbia. Notice is hereby given that in order to prevent the spread of Spanish influenza, or Spanish flu, all schools, public and private, churches, theaters, moving picture halls, pool rooms, and other places of amusement, and lodge meetings are to be closed until further notice. All public gatherings consisting of 10 or more are prohibited. Does that sound familiar? D.W. Sutherland, the mayor of that city. I mean, so this is not some terrible reaction that's taking place when government officials are seeking to do their part with social distancing, etc., in my opinion. Now, his article goes on. Perkins' tweet came a day after Catherine Stewart, the author of The Power Worshippers, Inside the Dangerous Rise of Religious Nationalism, argued in an op-ed in the New York Times that it is the religious right's hostility to science that has crippled the United States' response to the new coronavirus. Donald Trump, she says, rose to power with the determined assistance of a movement that determined science, and I might say votes that came from patriotic Americans in a fair and legal election that liberals like her have tried to steal illegally. But anyway, moving on, she goes on to say, bashes government and prioritizes loyalty over professional expertise. In the current crisis, we are all reaping what that movement has sown. And then, of course, she wrote, and I wrote, yes, and the Christians set fire to Rome while Nero fiddled. Remember that from history, that the Emperor Nero tried to blame the burning of Rome that he actually instigated on Christians. This denial of science and critical thinking among religious ultra-conservatives now haunts the American response to the coronavirus crisis, she said, before pointing to a number of high-profile Trump-supporting pastors who have defied the wisdom of scientific experts for the virus. And please, I would say, pray for President Trump and discernment for those that he has, connected with. Those who are false Christians, in my opinion, but he also gathers with true Christians, and he also does much for Christians, and he's done much for the country, in my opinion. She pointed to Guillermo Maldonado, a self-described apostle, no doubt part of the New Apostolic Reformation, who hosted President Trump earlier this year at a campaign event at his Miami megachurch, who urged his congregants to show up for worship services in person. Do you believe God would bring his people to his house to be contagious with the virus? Of course not, Maldonado said. Of course, this isn't what Trump says to be doing, is it? But she wants to tar Trump as being, you know, along the same lines of this guy, because Trump entertained people who, you know, vote for him, you know, okay? Anyway, not to get too political here, but this guy obviously is a false apostle, in my opinion. Rodney Howard Brown of The River, she goes on to say, at Tampa Bay Church in Florida, also mocked people concerned about the disease as pansies, she noted, in a sermon that was live-streamed on Facebook. Tony Spell, a pastor in Louisiana, noted, we're also going to pass out anointed handkerchiefs. Oh, boy. To people, you know, that's really mainstream Christianity, right? Well, you know, maybe becoming that, but I certainly don't obviously identify with any of that. She wants to tar all of us Christians with that. To those who have a fear, who may have a sickness, and we believe that when these anointed handkerchiefs go, that healing virtue is going to go out on them as well. Well, that's nonsense, of course. But anyway, in an appearance on Fox News, Perkins called Stewart's op-ed hate-filled and bigoted while suggesting it was politically motivated, do you think? And then, of course, he says it's reprehensible that the New York Times would allow this hate-filled, bigoted rant in their paper at a time of national crisis when people are dying. It appears that they cannot put politics aside to work for the well-being of the nation. They are more interested in criticizing President Trump and his supporters than they are containing the coronavirus. You know, and I would say, of course, some irresponsible fake Christians have done some bad things, but it's also some irresponsible left-wing millennial party types as well. He also argued that it is liberals who have trouble with science and not Christians. And I would also add, yes, you know, they also they call babies tissue when any court of law will tell you that a murdered woman whose baby dies from that murder is actually two murdered people. So they would defy that because they say babies are just tissue. But anyway, he goes on to say they are the ones who have a problem with the design of a defined male and female. Christians don't have a problem with science. In fact, while they're attacking Christians, it's the Christians that are out there serving the first responders. In fact, many of the first responders are Christians, like my daughter, who's an evangelical, who's working in the hot zone in the ER, who volunteered to work with the coronavirus patients. He said, preliminary research on the response of churches to the coronavirus viewed by the Christian Post Monday shows that a majority of churches have responded to the coronavirus by closing. A minority of churches and other religious organizations across the country have continued to defy warnings to limit gatherings or shut down to get altogether to help in stemming the spread of the coronavirus. So actually, you know, she's a deceiver. Wow, a New York Times writer, a deceiver? Wow, go figure, huh? So she wants to paint a false view there. Now, I want to quickly read something from J. Vernon McGee's commentary on 1 John 5:9 concerning liberals in the media. I don't know about you, but many folks whom I have talked to have reached a credibility gap between themselves and the news media, the politicians, and all who are on television today. I'll be very candid with you that there are certain news commentators whom I won't listen to any longer. He wrote this about 50 years ago. I know that they are doing nothing in the world but giving out propaganda. They are not giving facts. Everything they give is biased and distorted and twisted for a liberal position. Apparently, they are willing even to misinform you, and they are willing to withhold facts to gain their objective. I have come to the place where it does not matter who they are or to what party they belong. I have no confidence in politicians. How about that? Therefore, we are in a place today where it is difficult to receive the witness of men. But the interesting thing is that John Q. Public swallows it hook, line, and sinker. You can tell by the different polls which are taken that a man's influence or his popularity is determined by what the news media says about him. The biggest frauds in the world can be built up by the media. Hollywood, of course, has done this for years. Most people do receive the witness of men. They are taken in by it. If it is said over television or if it's put into print, they will believe it. There are many people who believe whatever they read or hear, but they will not receive the witness of God. Oh, my friend, the witness of God is greater. And he's commenting on this verse. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. And that's from 1 John 5:9. God bless J. Vernon McGee. I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven. Anyway, I'm just about out of time. And I guess I got on a little rant there. But there's a lot of stuff going on now and a lot of deception going on of all sorts, political, spiritual, and every other kind. So keep your antenna up. Keep your nose in the Word of God and keep trusting God through all this, folks. God bless. I hope you return next week. Good night.